We Are SC podcast, Gary Paskowitz, Johnny Curran, and Greg Katz. After the Trojan scrimmage on Saturday, basically the end of week two, end of the first full two weeks of fall camp, guys, a 70-play scrimmage that the Trojans held, and I think by any sense that you're going to look at it, it was a play that really featured the defense in the first half of the scrimmage playing well. And then once the offense moved into a lot of the red zone work that they were doing, there were some more good plays for the offense. But we're going to go around here with the three of us and kind of talk about some of the things that stood out, and I am going to talk about the defense starting that off, because Johnny, we've been talking so much through the first 2 weeks about, boy, with this second year of the Clancy Pendergast defense, the defense is playing a lot faster. They seem to be swarming to the ball more. And that, to me, is the number one thing that I took early on, is every time you looked up and there was a tackle, who made the tackle? I don't know. There was four defenders in there swarming on the guy. Helton praised Nwusu and Gustin, and they were certainly in on their share. But what I liked was almost every time you looked out there was four or five defenders swarming to the ball. And so really what we've been talking about with the attacking nature and everything, I thought that really showed up today.
Yeah, absolutely. And like Helton said, it was really started up front, it seemed like. The defensive ends, those outside linebackers, plus the interior guys, really were getting penetration the whole, it seemed, through much of that scrimmage. Nwosu and Gustin were definitely two guys he noticed constantly back there, but we also saw guys like Cam Smith, and second unit guys like Levi Jones, right. The freshman had a good game, I thought. And then in the secondary, we saw, Biggie had a good day today.
Matt Lopes played well.
Absolutely. Yeah. There was one play where you and I both noticed him fly in there and smack somebody. So, yeah. No, it's not just, a few guys. The entire unit in the second year under Pendergast really seems to be clicking and flowing now. And like I said, there's no confusion, no bust assignments. It's something to see for sure.
Yeah, Greg, it really jumped out early on that the offense had a tough time getting started.
Well, my takeaway from where I was watching was I was incredibly impressed at some of the things you guys said, the discipline of the defense, which, of course, comes along with knowledge of the defense. But what really stood out from my perspective was the sideline-to-sideline pursuit. It seemed like if you're going to try to run outside, you're not going anywhere. I was impressed that they didn't necessarily attack the ball carrier, but they went down the line with the ball carrier, and there was no place to go. So I took great comfort in that they were a sideline-to-sideline defensive team.
Okay, that's the great comfort part. Now we're going to shift to topic two of this podcast, and Johnny, it's what we'll let you get it started off. But when it went to the place-kicking competition, there have been some struggles through this camp, and today just showcased them as much as any other time.
Yeah, the combined, there's a competition going on between Michael Brown and Chase McGrath, and combined today they were 3 for 9. Brown 2 for 6 and McGrath 1 for 3. And really, as camp's gone on, it almost seems like those two guys are struggling more and more. And I think at this point it's definitely, you didn't know what to think at the beginning of camp. Oh, they'll come around, those two guys, one of them will, and emerge. And now you're kind of at the point, is one of them, are one of those guys really going to emerge? Because right now it's kind of not looking like that, and I think it's at a point in time where that's definitely a position of concern here.
And Greg, there was an interesting revelation by Helton after practice when asked about it, saying, would you think about being more aggressive on fourth down in terms of going for it instead of kicking a field goal? And he said yes.
You're absolutely right, Gary. The thing is people can say, some people in the media, they're so negative, you're looking to pick something out. We've all had that underlying feeling that, things aren't looking good place kicking wise. But I think that Helton, who always tries to turn and look at the glass as half full, this is a time when he said, I'm really concerned. I'm paraphrasing. He's very concerned. And yes, if it's fourth down, we may have to be going for it. And, the thing that amazes me, honestly, is these are kickers that were accomplished in high school. The distances are not necessarily any further. The truth of the matter is, they're not getting a big pass rush when they're attempting their field goals here. So it makes you wonder that maybe one of the two, hopefully when they actually, they're gamers, that when they get in the game and the crowd is going nuts and the TV cameras are on, somebody rises to the occasion. But right now, if you watch the game and they actually start missing field goals, you say that's what they were doing in practice. But I admire that Helton understands it. Now the question is, what happens when these kickers read these remarks in the paper? They're going to say, well, coach is not looking good. So somebody's either going to have to, ascend, or they've got some big challenges ahead?
Well, we talked in an earlier podcast about this, and one of the points that was made was talking about their coach, John Baxter. They do have one of the best special team coaches all of us have ever seen. And so, yes, that is a positive to say you've got this guy working with it. But I thought it was real interesting that the short field goals were the ones that were giving problems today. And there's no real answer for that. When you're talking about a 25, 30-yarder and your kickers are missing that, you hope that situation gets turned around and gets turned around real quick. Okay, but let's talk about some of the individual stars on the day. Just some maybe guys who caught your eye, who made big plays. Greg, throw someone out.
Well, I'll stick with Tyler Vaughns. I mean, he made a great catch, and then he went for a touchdown. I don't know. How long was it?
Oh, I know. It was a long one.
I think what I took from that is that he had the speed to outrace the secondary, and that he was really fluid when he ran. But I think it reinforces the consistency that he's playing at. I mean, Helton won't say, he'll do everything but say he's starting, which I understand. But I don't think if we voted amongst the three of us and they said, will he start? I think I would get a 3 for 3, which is not to take anything away from anybody else. But he has so asserted himself that, you know, it's almost like, and it's a good thing, you expect him to make big plays, and he's doing it on a routine basis.
Well, you talk about that deep pass, and it's interesting because Stephen Mitchell got the start today ahead of him. And Stephen Mitchell had a long pass from Sam Darnold that was incomplete, and it was basically overthrown by a few yards. And the scuttlebutt on the sidelines is, if that's old Stephen Mitchell, you know, he probably makes that play. And then we saw a little bit later, Tyler Vaughns did make that play. And so it almost felt like today was a day where Stephen Mitchell, okay, let's see where you're at, Stephen. In the starting lineup, as you mentioned, if you're going to pull the media and all of us here, it's Tyler Vaughns who's in that starting lineup. So I agree with you. 3 touchdowns total, that long one, and then a couple short ones. Johnny, who jumped out to you?
I'm going to go with a guy who we seem to talk about during every podcast, and that's the young freshman running back, Stephen Carr, because he just keeps showing up. Today he had the arguable play of the day, which would be kind of been kind of a trademark of his now. He broke off a long 45-yard run where he made a really, you know, fantastic cut up near the line of scrimmage and broke outside for a big gain. And he just, you know, there's just something special about this kid. And I think when he came into camp, everyone kind of figured, well, maybe he'll redshirt. But from what we keep seeing, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field and where he's at least in the rotation, because he just keeps making big plays. He's got that unique big play ability, and you can't keep those guys off the field.
Yeah, we're midway through fall camp, and when it's the second stringers out there, when you see Stephen Carr come in, you kind of get on the edge of your seat. He's must-see watching right now, so there's no doubt about that. I'm going to go Ajayne Harris, and he made Helton called it arguably the play of the day today. I'm going to certainly agree with that. It was a play down in the red zone, and the ball was thrown up. I believe it was to Deontay Burnett. Boy, Ajayne just kind of turned his body around and made a one-handed interception. And there was a nice return to it as well. But it was the one-handed acrobatic interception that just made you go, wow. And it shouldn't surprise us anymore when Ajayne does these things. He has been so solid since he's been in the lineup. But I'm going to go that as the play of the day. So that wraps up 2 weeks of fall camp drills. The Trojans will be back at it on Monday with a brief walkthrough. And then full pads again on Tuesday in the Coliseum, Tuesday afternoon. For Greg Katz and Johnny Curran, this is Gary Pasquitz. You're listening to the We Are SC podcast.